Spirit of the Lord.
Oh, yes.
Amen. We're going to be looking in the Old Testament for our lesson today. In Psalm number 78, you may have a copy of our lesson there somewhere. If you are in the sanctuary, if you're hearing us online, you probably can see this on the screen. And if you don't have one, somebody raise your hand. Usher is passing them out now. Amen. If you came in and did not get one, amen. So we're going to take a look and hear a reading from the Old Testament, a scripture from Psalm number 78, verses 1 through 8. And also, as you know, we've been sojourning in the book of Romans in chapter number 12. So we're kind of overlapping a few verses here today to add a few more thoughts to our previous lesson, Romans 12, verses 1 through 5. This is an intentional overlap that I thought we'd do today. Amen. Because we need to overlap every now and then just to add more fuel to the fire, if you will. Amen. So let us have a reading, if we might take a stand at this time. I'm sometimes reluctant to ask people to stand because a good portion of all the teaching that you will hear will be directly from the Word, and you'd almost have to stand through the whole service. You know, if you were going to hear everything that's for the Word, if we had to stand, you need to stand up from the beginning to the end. But in either case, we will stand at this time for our initial reading, and we're going to ask someone to read for us Psalm 78 and verses 1 through 8. Followed by a reading from the New Testament, as we have said. Amen. Psalm 78.
Mm-hmm. Give ear, O my people, to my law. Mm-hmm. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth.
Yes.
I will open my mouth in a parable.
Mm-hmm.
I will utter dark saying of old, which we have heard and known, and our fathers have told us.
Yes.
We will not hide them from their children, showing to the generations to come the praise of the Lord. And the strength, and his wonderful work,
yes,
that he has done. For he established a testimony in Jacob, and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers, that they should make them known to their children.
Yes.
That the generations to come might know them,
yeah.
Even the children which should be born, who should arise and declare them to their children. That they might set their hope in God, and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments.
Amen.
And might not be as their fathers, stubborn and rebellious generation.
Mama.
A generation that set not their heart aright, and whose spirit was not steadfast
in God. Amen. 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 We thank the good Lord for the Psalm number 78.
Yeah.
Amen. Now, reading from Romans chapter number 12, verses 1 to 5.
I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another.
Amen. Amen. May God add a blessing to the hearing and the reading of his blessed word. Amen. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. We want to zoom in just for a few minutes on that idea in that last verse there. One body in Christ. Amen. Let us pray. Eternal God, we lift up our hands this morning, Father, to praise you and to just thank you for being God all by yourself. We thank you for your word, Father. We thank you for your Holy Spirit. We thank you for your grace, oh God, that you have poured out just richly upon all of us here. Father, we thank you that even if someone is here today who doesn't know you, that you have allowed them to be here at this time in order that they might hear your word. And so, Father, we pray that every ear would be open, that every mind would be stayed on you, oh God, and we pray that you take the preacher out the way, oh God, and you come through and speak to this people that belongs to you, oh God. Teach and just bless our minds, God, with understanding today. Help us, oh God. We need you right now, oh God. We thank you right now, oh God. And we praise you right now, oh God. We pray that every person here under the sound of my voice will be blessed, from the oldest even to the very youngest. Bless the small child that is in the sanctuary today, God. Bless all the adults, oh God. We thank you right now, God. We pray for understanding, oh God, that you will help us to see what it means to be one body. In Christ. We thank you. We give you praise. It is in Jesus' name that we pray. And the saints all said together, amen. Amen. We thank the good Lord for this. The reason we had to overlap here, just for those of you who were here last week, we opened into a subject, and I wanted to extend the thought of it a little further to allow you to just marinate a little bit more in this whole idea. As we said, this 12th chapter of Romans is something that Paul is now going to apply all the theology that he taught us from chapter 1 all the way up to chapter 11. He's going to give us some practical applications how we can live out and what this means. What does all of that mean that he said in those 11 chapters? What about all that history of Israel and how they don't have an advantage with God above any of us, even though we're Gentiles? We were not the covenant people.
All right.
But so we want to look at this now, and we want to talk about this concept of one body in Christ. Now, the first part of this, just to back up a little here, as you see in chapter 12, verse 1, the Apostle Paul says, I beseech you. That means to plead with you, to beg you. It's like I would get on my knees and say, please understand what I'm saying.
Yes.
With a sincere heart. I'm crying out to every person, please, even though he has a high office. Look at the office he has. He said back in chapter 11 that he was the apostle to the Gentiles. What a big name that is. God gave him the responsibility to spread the good news about his son to the Gentiles. These are the people who did not know God, didn't have any previous history with God. They worshiped all kinds of things that were not God. They were trying to find God, but they were looking in all the wrong places, trying to do it their way. And so now this apostle who thought that the Gentiles were dogs and he wouldn't have given them the time of day before his conversion has now been selected to be the apostle to the Gentiles. And so now he has a big job set before him. So he could come in and start throwing out barking orders and commands, but he says, oh no, I beseech you therefore by the mercies of God. But you know what? He knew what the mercy of God were. He understood he had it all wrong, and God had to give him great mercy to turn him around to get him right. Because God is no respecter of persons. He had to learn the hard way that God doesn't love the Jews more than the Gentiles. He had just selected them first to be a vehicle through which he could bring his word into the world. They would be a vehicle through which he could bring his son into the world. Now that his son has come, the purpose was exactly what he told Abraham, that in your seed all the families of the earth shall be blessed. So they had read that for generations and really didn't get it. That God is going to save all the families of the earth, all the way from Genesis 12. So the law of God testified that this gospel has started way back in the Old Testament. God promised it to Abraham before the Jews existed, and now he says God has shown great and immeasurable mercy on all of mankind because he delayed his judgment in order to give us his son as a sacrifice to cleanse us from all sin. And so he doesn't demand anyone to do anything. The apostle here, by the movement of the Holy Spirit, says, I beseech you, therefore, I beg you to trust Christ. Believe the gospel. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved. Understand, God has great mercy. No matter what we did against him, he has preserved us in order to be here, that we might become his people. Now, the first plea he says is, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, notice this, that you present your bodies. Now, that's the word bodies in the plural.
Yes.
That means all of y'all bodies, every one of y'all, and,
right.
and me, see?
Right.
Everybody, all of y'all, each one individually, present your bodies in the plural, a living sacrifice.
Yes.
Now, we talked about how adverse that is, the fact that a sacrifice is normally not living.
Mm-hmm.
A sacrifice is normally something you put to death.
Right.
It was something that had to die in the place of another.
Yes.
But now he flips that around, says the supreme sacrifice, that satisfied God, has already been offered.
Yes.
So I want you to present your bodies,
right.
all of you, each one individually,
mm-hmm.
a living sacrifice,
yes.
holy and acceptable before God.
Right.
And he says it's only a reasonable service. It's only right that you have a right response to God's mercy.
That's right.
That we talked about that last week. It's only fair. Look what he did.
Yes.
He came down off his throne,
yes.
took on a body of flesh,
yes.
dwelt among us. John says, John 1:14, behold, the word became flesh,
yes.
and dwelt among us,
yes.
and we beheld his glory. John said, we just watched him. It blew our minds.
Yes.
We could put it in modern terms. We couldn't believe what we were seeing with our eyes.
Mm-hmm.
We beheld his glory, his majesty. He came in. He showed us that he was God in the flesh.
Amen.
He tabernacled among us, is what that word means. John 1:14. He pitched a tent in the body of Jesus Christ. Was that unusual? No, he promised that he would do it already. He said in Isaiah that, behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son,
yes.
and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is God with us. We hit on that briefly in Sunday school this morning. So God tabernacled or dwelt in a body of flesh in the person of Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians 5 says in verse, I think it's 17, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. All things have passed away. Behold, all things are become new. He says that God was in Christ, verse 19, reconciled. Reconciling the world to himself. See that? So God was in Christ. That was the place where God dwelt while Jesus Christ walked the earth. When he was baptized, the Bible says by John the Baptist that he came, John 1:29 said, he said, behold, the Lamb of God who taketh away the sin of the world. So John understood in the spirit that Jesus is God. He is the Lamb of God. He is that sacrifice that's going to satisfy God once and for all. And behold, he said, when he saw him coming to his baptism. The Bible says when John had baptized him after Jesus and he had to have a little argument, John said, hey, you baptizing, you want me to baptize you? I need to be baptized of you. You should be baptizing me. What you coming to me for? He understood the magnitude of the Christ, the Messiah. But Jesus said, John, suffer it to be so. He had to command him, go ahead and do this, that we might fulfill all righteousness. The Bible says that John suffered him to do it. In other words, he went on and did it. He baptized him. And it says, when he came up out of the water, straightway the heavens were open. And the Spirit of God descended in a bodily form like a dove and lighted up on him. And John had already been given a message from God that whoever you see of the Spirit light up on, that's the one I have chosen. He is the anointed one. And so the Christ, that term means the anointed one. He is the anointed one that God blessed to reconcile the whole world to himself. Now he did this for himself, but he also did it for us. The exciting part is Messiah came to be crucified for a wretch like me. Not only me, but also you. And for all in the world. And so he was the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. He is the one who came out of eternity into the flesh to occupy a body for 33 and a half years to offer himself on the Roman cross as a sacrifice for all of our sins. And the special thing about him is that since he had not sinned, no one could take his life from him. The Bible said the wages for sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. If he had not sinned, guess what? Death had no right to take him. And so he was in the world, the world was made by him, but the world knew him not, John says, because he was God veiled in the human flesh. And he came in order to do this work, to present his body as a sacrifice, but not a living sacrifice. He would be offering his life to pay the ransom or the wages for sin, which is death.
Amen.
But it was a willful death. It was not a death that he deserved. And so therefore, when he was crucified on the cross, he was paying my debt. He was paying your debt if you trust and believe in him. He was taking on the penalty for all of our sin, was being cast upon him by God the Father. And then God even neglected him. The Father turned his back and let his Son hang there between heaven and earth. Jesus had said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. See, and he is still the standard by which anyone who is saved must come in order to be in God's good graces. So Jesus willfully submitted himself to death. Even the death of the cross, it says in the book of Colossians, in Philippians chapter 2. And so we have all these testimonies from God that the Son of God came to die on the cross after the world had threw out everything it could, dished everything at him that it could, spit on him, ridiculed him, embarrassed him, stripped him naked, hanged him high. And they did everything to him that it would have killed any one of us, any one of those things that they did. Flogged him all night long. Beat him like he was had stole something, but he had never done anything wrong. Spit on him and pressed the crown of thorns into his brow. It was a terrible shame. It was a dirty shame what happened to Jesus Christ. That the world poured out upon him as though he had done something wrong. In fact, he was God who came to take the blows that was necessary to satisfy the Father. But even in that, they crucified him, nailed him to a cross, lifted him up between heaven and earth, and that none of that killed him at all, because death had no legal right to take his life. He had already said, no man taketh my life from me, but I lay it down that I might take it up again. He said that before he was crucified. And so there he hung there on the cross. Get the picture. Dying for your sin. Dying for my sin. Hung between heaven and earth. Forsaken by man. Forsaken by demons. Forsaken by Satan. Forsaken by his own body was starting to fail him because of the pressure. But yet he was God. And so that body could not die until the time, even when God turned his back and forsook him, he cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Hanging there alone, bearing all of our sin. So Paul, thinking about all of that, the magnitude of the cross, and then Jesus commanded his body, his soul and his spirit. He said, all right, Father, into thy hands I commit my spirit. Commanded that spirit to leave. That's the only way it could go. Nobody could take his life from him. Death had been swallowed up in victory. Once he did that, he offered a perfect, unblemished spirit to God.
Yes.
And that's what it took to satisfy God for your sin and mine. No one else has ever done that. No one else could ever do that.
Amen.
Can't be done by anyone else. If there's anybody listening and you're counting on something else, it's going to fail you. I'm going to let you know now. I want to serve you notice. By the mercies of God, one thing satisfied God. That's the offering of his Son, Jesus Christ. So think of that one body, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
It's the only one, we can say it's the only body or any of anybody that could ever save the rest of us. And he offered that body on the cross. So when we think about the phrase one body in Christ, I wanted to make the single thought in your mind, first of all, that there's one person that satisfied God. There's one God, the Bible says, in 1 Timothy 2:5, and one mediator also between God and men, the man Jesus Christ. There is no one else in that place. Let me say this to you right now. No one else is required.
No one.
God is only satisfied by his Son. Jesus Christ. Whoever puts their trust in Christ, God is satisfied with you.
Amen.
He is the only mediator. You don't have anyone else to go to but Christ. He is the only one that satisfied God, and he did it for you and for me. So I'm excited about that. So Paul was excited about that. He says, I beseech you, so I want to plead with you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies, all of you, a living sacrifice. You don't have to worry about being put to death for your sin. God took care of that. He became flesh, dwelt among us, was crucified on the Roman cross for your sin. So don't worry about the dying. Death has already been swallowed up in victory. The grave does not have any more sting. Those who trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, the Bible says, shall not perish, but have everlasting life. And so he says, I beg you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your body. In other words, God wants you to be present with your body living and for the cause of Christ. That's what it simply means if we put it in simple terms. Present your body a living sacrifice. Now, what is the characteristics of that? You are to be holy. That means set apart for the usage of God. See, people mistake sometimes the word holy. We think holy, and holy is a difficult word to define, but I want you to know that it means that you have been separated. God has separated you. He's taken you out of the mass of humanity for himself. He has a special purpose for you. That's what it really means with Israel. Now it should be righteous because he's separating you for him. God is righteous. He is 100% righteous. There's no unrighteousness in him at all. 1 John 1:5 says God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. So we have fellowship with him who is light. And John says if we walk with him in that fellowship, that we shall start to put away sin out of our lives. Because God is putting a light on it. He's lighting it up. And not only that, but the psalmist said that the Lord says, if you trust in me, I'll be a lamp to your feet and a light to your path. I'm going to show you how to walk righteously. You see? And so this is a process. But the good news is because Christ, that one body, was lifted up between heaven and earth to satisfy God, which he did. No one else ever satisfied God in the history of time. No one else ever will. So there is no other hope for you but Christ. No matter who you are. I don't care if you're Jewish. Whatever you count on is going to fail you if you don't trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. But the purpose of that is so that you and I can be set apart unto God. God wants you to live for him. You say, my old life is behind me. I set it behind me. I don't walk that way anymore.
Amen.
I walk in a way that is pleasing to my Father. Because he purchased me out of death.
Amen.
Even though I may have to go to the grave, he's going to bring me back up out of it.
Yes.
See, you know why? Because Jesus was crucified, the Bible says, and he was laid in a grave, a borrowed tomb, for 3 days and 3 nights. But on the third day morning, the Bible says early on the third day morning, he got up with all power in his hand. He got up and declared, all power is given to me in heaven and earth, Matthew 28:18. And then he dispatched his disciples and said, go ye therefore into all the world and teach all the nations.
Yes.
Make disciples of all the nations.
Yes.
See? So we got a big job. We've been set apart to go into all the world and teach all the nations.
Amen.
You know, we're not sitting here wondering what should we do. No. The Lord said, go ye therefore into all the world and teach all the nations.
Yes.
Then he said, baptize them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you.
Yes.
And lo, I am with you always.
Always.
Even to the end of the world.
Yes.
See, so we have a big job.
Yes.
We are holy, set apart.
Yes.
For the purposes of God. We are acceptable. Why are we acceptable? Because we're in Christ. That's the only reason. By myself, I'm not acceptable. I can't do anything to satisfy God by myself. The only thing you can do, somebody asked Jesus the question, what might I do that I might work the works of God? He said the works of God is to believe on him whom he has sent. There it is. You want to work the works of God? Trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Lean lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. See, so we trust him, and God blesses us because of our faith in him. Now let me tell you this. If you are sitting here right now, or if you're hearing my voice anywhere on earth, and you have faith in Christ, it didn't come from you. I want to let you know that. If you trust Christ, it's because God gave you faith. To believe him.
Yes.
Otherwise, Ephesians 2:2 says we are all dead in our trespasses and sin.
Amen.
How can dead people do anything for themselves?
Amen.
The fact is, you can't.
That's right.
If you trust him, it's because he loved you first. We love him, 1 John 4 says, yes, because he first loved us.
That's right.
See? So he called you. He woke you up out of death.
Yes.
He gave you faith to believe in his son.
Amen.
It was a gift. The Bible says, Romans 10:17, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So God, that's why we have to preach. You and I need to go out and preach. We need to go out and teach. Tell people this gospel, the good news that God loves you. There's nothing you can do to save yourself. It's just like if you were in the river drowning, you're going down for the last time. What can you do to save yourself? Nothing. If somebody doesn't throw you a lifeline or jump in and grab you, you're going to go down. That's it. It's done. It's over. See, so that's the way it is, and that's why we need to be saved. God wants to save us out of our sin. One sin is enough to cast us into the deepest, darkest part of hell forever. But God doesn't want anyone to be in hell. There's going to be people in hell. They're going to be those ones who are so, they think they can do it themselves. They're going to be right along with the folks that singing, I did it my way. Well, your way is going to put you in hell. Because God has one way you can be saved. That is by faith in his son. The good news for those who believe is that if you believe him, that means God woke you up from the dead.
Amen.
Your spirit has already been made alive.
Whoa.
Your trust and your hope is now in Christ.
Yeah.
You believe in him, and God has given you faith.
Yeah.
Now he's going to grow you up in him.
Yeah.
And so he wants you to be a part of what is called here in this text. Let's move on here a little bit as we look back at Romans 12. He says, verse 2, do not be conformed to the world. We dealt with that, which is your reasonable service, last week. It's only logical. If God did all that for you,
mm-hmm,
by his mercy, you ought to present your body.
Yes.
So here am I, Lord.
Yes.
Think about Isaiah. He said it was the year of the king Uzziah died. Y'all know I love that Isaiah 6 passage. He came in, the government was shaken because the king died.
Mm-hmm.
He came in to get a little solace from God, and he saw the Lord,
yes,
high and lifted up.
Yes.
He said, wow, boy, I thought the king was magnificent. Look at him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he said, my eyes have seen the king. First thing he starts to say, woe is me, for I'm undone.
Yes.
I'm not right. I can't go into this glory.
Mm-hmm.
See, I'm coming apart.
Yes.
Because my sin is separating me from God.
That's right.
And God sent redemption, touched his mouth,
yes,
with a coal from the altar. The altar was the place of sacrifice,
yes,
where sins were atoned for in a temporal manner.
Yes.
He took that coal, touched his mouth, said, this has touched your lips.
Yes.
Your sin has been forgiven, and your sins are purged.
Wow.
And your iniquity has been taken away.
That's right.
That's what we have to do. We have to be forgiven.
Yes.
God wants to save you. If you're not saved, I want to let you know today, God wants you to be saved. How do you do that? Trust in his son. When you do that, God will take all your sin, put it on his son. He'll take all of his righteousness and put it on you. There's a double exchange. He covers you with his righteousness. I don't have to worry about, is my righteousness good enough for God? No, it isn't. That's why Jesus said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all other things will be added to you. See? So the righteousness you need is his righteousness. He wants to give you his righteousness. That's what makes you holy. He separates you by giving you the righteousness of Christ. When you believe in Christ, and he takes all of our imperfections, cast it on Christ, who's on the cross, paying the bill.
Yes, he is.
Jesus paid it all. We sing that song. So there's a double exchange. All your sin is cast upon him, and all of his righteousness is cast upon you. Double exchange. You see? And so that's how you get clean. That's how you get separated. It's not by works of righteousness that we have done, but it's by his great mercy that he poured out richly upon us in Christ Jesus. Now I'm going to have to cut cut to the chase here. Let's go to verse 3. Now Paul says this, "For I say through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think more highly of himself than he ought." See? So don't go around getting the idea. Now I kind of skipped 2. I'm going to come back to it. But I want you to know here. He says don't go around with a lofty mindset about who you think you are. Because you didn't do anything to get saved. God did it. If you're saved, he blessed you, he called you, he sanctified you, he covered you with his righteousness. And so don't go getting all big-headed about it. I think there's a lot of folks in the church big-headed. They think, oh, look at me, you know, I'm all that in a bag of chips. Well, you may be a bag of chips. So don't get big-headed. Don't get it twisted, Paul is saying here. Don't go thinking more of yourself than you should. Because if you're in this, it's because God blessed you with his righteousness. He woke you up out of the dead. He sent somebody out to preach the gospel to you. One planted, another watered, but God gave the increase. You see that? So he says here, don't be conformed to the world because you're separated. And this is what the world has a tendency to do. We talked about this a little last week. The world wants you to be like them. They want you to say, well, can't we all just get along? And why y'all have to say y'all the only one way to be saved? I didn't say it. God did. I'm not saying it because it's my preference. But if you think it through, the very idea of God means there only can be one. Think through that for a minute. If there's God, how can there be more than one? Doesn't make any sense, does it? Either there's one creator who created everything, or there isn't. If there's multiple ones, how do you know which one is the best? So the fact is, the very idea of God means there is one. One God, the Bible says, one mediator also between God and men. Well, why do people say there's 50 gods or 100 gods? Because they're confused, like their father, the devil. The devil is the one that's confused, not God. You know, and God allows the devil to do that. Because you know what? He gave you common sense. You have a logical mind. God gave you a conscience. So you can look at how it is and say, does it make any sense for there to be more than one God? The answer is no, but God has to wake you up where you get to the place where you understand that.
Yes.
Other than that, we wouldn't understand it. There's one God, one mediator, also between God and men. Now that one God, the Bible says God is love.
Yes.
He loves you. He always loved us even though we were dead in our trespasses and sin. We weren't loving him back. We were minding our own business, doing our own thing, and we were doing some bad stuff sometimes. You know, and God woke us up, caused us to see that's not going to get you anywhere. And I want you to notice that I gave my son who was crucified. I made him the most famous person on earth. I said this to some people the other day. I had church at the barbershop when I went to get my hair cut. And it was accidental. I just went in there and somebody started asking me questions. It turned into a church service. I said, "Holly, hallelujah, thank you God." And I started telling them, they were asking me some tough questions and I was giving them some specific answers. And I told them that Jesus Christ is the one in the middle of your calendar. Is there anybody else there, these folks you're talking about? Where is Buddha? Is he involved with that? Have you ever heard of BB before Buddha? I asked them, they said, "No, I haven't heard of it." I said, "You heard of BC before Christ?" They said, "Yes." I said, "There it is." Now why did God do that? Think that over. Let's not talk about the Bible. Think that over. Why did God put Christ in the middle of the calendar? So you won't be able to ignore him.
Yes.
You can believe something else if you want to. It wouldn't be smart for you to ignore this historic fact that Jesus Christ is in the center of time. God did that.
Amen.
So you won't be able to just brush him aside.
Right.
Tell me why Confucius is not in there. CC. Or something. Whatever that would be.
Right.
You know, he's not in there because he's not God.
Right.
And God doesn't want you thinking about him.
Right.
And I'm not here to slander them, but I'm going to tell you the truth.
Amen.
The truth is God fixed it where you, if you overlook that and you think think that's a trick some kind of way, you really are kind of a little out of the center of thinking. Your thinking is a little bit kind of somewhere along the way. You better think about it again. I want to ask you to reconsider. Because I don't believe it's an accident. It's not, because God did it. And he wants you to trust his son. He said, you know what, he's not against you. This is the next thing. And I told this to the people there. I said, you know what, God loves you even though you're trying to figure out a way to get around him. He loves you just like you are. He'll accept you now. Did you know that? He sent his son to be crucified for you and raised him from the dead. I said, if he hadn't been raised from the dead, there wouldn't even be a church. Because what would we have to preach if Jesus is in the grave? There's nothing to preach. All they had to do was produce that corpse and bring it right down the middle of Jerusalem on the main street. So here he is. They couldn't do it. Why? Because he is risen. He got up out of the grave with all power, having defeated death, hell, and the grave, and everything against us, Satan and all of his minions. Back to our text. So the world wants to press you into its mold. In other words, you got to conform and think like we do. They'll tell you, you are intolerant. I said, no, I'm not intolerant. Christ is putting up with you right now. He is. He's tolerating you right now. And he loves you right now. If you trust him, you can love him back. And you can have the peace in your mind and know that you are saved. You can go to bed without worrying about what's going to happen in the world. You don't have to worry about Ebola or any of these kind of things that are going around. You know, you don't have to worry about anything. Because if you're right with God, God has got your whole future mapped out. Doesn't mean nothing bad may happen in your life. I don't want to give you a false impression. But the world wants to press you into their mold. And we can see their mold is getting more and more godless. More and more wicked. They're wanting to pass more and more things that are destructive and addicting, habit forming to people. Sin is habit forming.
Yes, it is.
It can addict and bind you. It demands all of your attention.
Yes.
It becomes a god in your life.
Yes, it will.
Because it takes the place where God ought to be. But God is a liberating God.
Yes, he is.
He wants to set you free from anything that binds you. He wants you to be free to come and go. And to stand for him and the things that he represents.
My Lord.
Let's move on here. He says, I say by the grace, through the grace of God given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think more highly of himself, think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God has dealt to every man the measure of faith.
Yes.
So God has given us all a measure of faith to believe in Christ.
Yes.
For as we, he says here, have many members in one body, see that? All members have not the same office, so we being many are one body in Christ.
Yeah.
Now what he wants you to see there is that Christ saved us all to bring us all together for one purpose.
Yes.
And we become the body of Christ. The reason for the resurrection is to prove that Jesus had defeated death and the grave, and now the Bible says he is a great high priest after the order of Melchizedek.
Uh-huh.
He is seated at the right hand of God, making intercession for our sins. So he came, defeated death, hell, and the grave, and sin, ascended into heaven where he mediated between us and God.
Amen.
He sent the Holy Spirit back to dwell in everyone that believes in him.
Oh yes.
So the Holy Spirit takes up residence in you if you trust in Christ.
Amen.
And he is in you to lead and guide you to all truth.
Yes.
He is a restrainer in your life.
Bubble.
He keeps you from doing what you might do if he wasn't there.
All right.
That stuff that's gone out of my life that I used to do, the Holy Spirit stopped it. He stops it. There's other stuff in there that needs to go. He convicts me of it and says, this has got to go.
Yes.
And he guides you how you're going to get rid of it.
Amen.
You see? And so when you come and you hear more of the word, the Bible says faith comes. Yes. God is giving you faith to convict you of sin so that you can clean up your life.
Amen.
And the world is saying, don't clean it up. Just let's legalize it. Don't clean it up, let's legalize it, then we don't have to be guilty about it.
Amen.
We don't have to be guilty about any of these things. We'll just make a law and pass the law.
Mm-hmm.
And they think that's the answer. But the answer is you're going to still be enslaved
right.
to lust or to greed or
right.
to whatever it is if you just legalize it.
Right.
It's going to make the chains heavier and harder for
yeah.
you ever to get free.
Amen.
You see, so that's why Paul says, do not be conformed
right.
to the world. That means to be pressed into the world's mold, but be ye transformed. We talked about that last week. That's like the caterpillar going into a cocoon, and then he's being metamorphosized into a butterfly.
Yes.
When he breaks loose, he's nothing like he used to be.
Right.
He's a new creature. He's soaring through the air.
Yes,
and he's not crawling around on the ground anymore.
Wow.
See, he's a whole new creation. A metamorphosis has taken
yes.
place. That's that Greek word metamorpho there, to be transformed
yes.
by the renewing of your mind. Now, God works in the mental realm. He's teaching you how to have a fresh way of looking at things, a new way
yes.
to see it his way,
Amen.
A right way that's going in his direction.
Mm-hmm.
And he teaches you how to love.
Yes.
Part of what's wrong with all of us is our ability to love has been damaged.
Right.
It may have been marred
right.
by things in the past. Stuff happened to me when I was a kid, or stuff happened to me when I was growing up,
yes.
or somebody treated me a certain way and the impact of it is still in my mind.
Yes.
And I can't release myself to be someone who really loves like I ought to.
Yes.
God can fix all of that. He's the only one. We went through a period where they tried to say psychology is going to fix it.
Yep.
See, and well, lay down on my sofa and let me fill you with drugs. That's primarily what they say there. You know, but that won't really fix you. That gives you another problem. So if you really want to get fixed, come to the wonderful counselor, the mighty God, the everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Let him replace your anxiety with the peace of the Holy Spirit in your life. Let him take up residence in you and lead you and guide you to all truth. So don't be conformed to the world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Now he said that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Now what I want to say, our time slipped away and we may have to overlap this one more time. But the community and fellowship of believers in Christ Jesus is an essential standard that must be upheld in routine Christian life.
Amen.
Unlike the cyclic patterns of unbelieving Israel who failed to properly maintain and transmit separate community as God has demanded in his word, which was also the only consistent source to return to for proper correction and deviation then and now. In other words, the word of God was the standard that kept Israel on the right track. When they deviated from the word, guess what happened? They started to go after other gods. They started to get into bondage. They went away from the things that they had been taught. And so now in our generation, they have thrown out the word of God. And then now we want to know, why are all the people shooting each other? Why they hate each other so much? Why they have no regard for life? Why will they just shoot you in a minute rather than try to even figure it out? Because they don't have the fear of the Lord in their heart.
Amen.
There's no knowledge of God.
No.
They're going in the way of the flesh, the way of the world.
Amen.
And all they can do is outrage, and we'll shoot everything. And we've even trained a whole generation of people, shoot your way out of trouble.
Yes.
Using video games and all kinds of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You got a problem, shoot your way out of it.
Amen.
And that's in your mind.
Amen.
See, corruptible things that poison the human mind.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
Then you get in a real situation and you start to think, shoot your way out of it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a terrible thing. So people need to wake up. Yeah. Don't be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Let's take a quick blast back to Psalm 78, because I want you to see how Israel separated away from the moorings of the word of God, and that's how they got in trouble. Psalm 78 and 1, give ear, O my people. This is a mass kill, the Bible says. O my people, to my law, incline your ears to the words of my mouth. See, God says, I have spoken on everything you need. Okay? But you've forgotten about what I said. This is the problem. He says, I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old, which we have heard and known, and our fathers have told us. This was passed down through the generations by the word of mouth. See that? And by the written scripture was taught to every generation as they came up. And now notice in verse 4, he says, we will not hide them from their children. That's another generation down, past your children, to the grandchildren, showing the generations to come the praises of the Lord and his strength and his wonderful works that he has done. See, everything is about God. It's not about man.
All about God.
The advancements that man has is because God gave you the grace to have them. Think this one through. I just want to put one more on your plate here. Time's almost up. Everything we do now, fly through space, fly through the air, could have been done when Adam was here.
That's right.
There aren't any new materials that came in. God put them here when he put Adam here, before he put Adam here.
Right.
So everything they use now to fly, to do computers, to do iPhones, to do Wi-Fi, all that was always here. What happened? Man learned that he could do this. Eventually, they used to give God praise when they came up with something. And now it's, I did all this. Look at me. Give me my kudos and let me get my reward and all that. The Nobel Prize.
Yeah.
Somebody told me once, they talk about the guy who invented the door knocker.
Yeah.
They said they gave him the Nobel Prize. Oh, bad joke. Anyway, let's just skip that one. We'll move along. In either case, I want you to see that. I just had to put that in right there. In either case, when people forgot the counsel of the Lord here, it got them in trouble all the time. Notice Psalm 78 and verse number 5. He says, for he established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers that they should make known to their children. So in other words, pass this word down through the generations, that the generation to come might know them.
Yes.
That's the words of God. Even the children which should be born. Teach the next generation who should arise and declare it to their children. See, it's coming on down through the generations, the word of God. So what we have in our culture, and I mainly wanted you to see, is a disconnect in the word of God. So we want to know what's happening to the people. Why are they so mean? Why are they so evil? Why do they hate each other so much? They do not know the word of God, and the restraint of the Holy Spirit is not in their life. The only reason we wouldn't do half the stuff we might think about, and I'm going to have to confess, I'm going to say this, and you don't have to confess, I'm not going to ask you to, but I have had some thoughts in my mind. Somebody make me mad, and you think about, boy, where did that come from? Well, I'm glad I don't have a laser beam on my dashboard. I mean, I would probably be getting them too. They make you mad. They get on your last nerve. Make you want to say something, you have to hold your lip. I know that don't happen to nobody in here. But in either case, what stops you from crossing the line? Have you ever thought about it? Where is it when you felt like you could slap the taste out of somebody's mouth because of something they said? Something stops you. You go, okay, I ain't going to do it. You know, that's the Holy Spirit. Your boss says something to you, you feel like you want to get him told, but you check your lips. That's the Holy Spirit in your life stopping you from doing what you might have done. And you thought about, oh, I sure would like to. And you come short. You stop. That's that restraining influence of the Holy Spirit. See? Because he will put you in check to stop you from doing that stuff you feel like you might like to do. We don't have time to research that much today, but we're going to just leave it at that. But notice what it says here now in verse 7, that they might set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments and might not be as their fathers. Even if you had a problem in your past, you missed it, a generation skipped you and didn't give you the truth, don't worry about it. Don't charge it to their account. Move on forward in the Lord. He's able to take you from here, even without it. He says, don't be as their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation that set not their hearts aright and whose spirit was not steadfast with God. See that? You want to just, and you may have had that. You might look back and go, oh, my parents didn't really go to church, or they didn't really love God. Or, don't worry about that. God got you now. He got your back right now. And I'm going to take you from here and take you on through. You're going to be all right. If you come in right now, you're here in time. Amen. Now, moving back quickly to Romans 12, notice this here in verse number 5. He says, so we being many are one body in Christ, and everyone members one of another. Now, even though individually God wants wants us all to present our bodies, that's the plural word, as a living sacrifice. That means each one of us, we have our own challenges, we got our own state of mind, we got our own struggles in our own life. You want to bring them to the altar all the time. God wants you to put to death the deeds of the body, it says in Colossians, you know, and in Romans 8, it talks about putting to death the deeds of the body. That's why that stuff doesn't work when my anger rises up and I want to do something. No, that's got to be extinguished.
That's right.
The Holy Spirit says, no, that's don't right. do that. It'll wreck your testimony.
Yes, it will.
And you are a living witness for me.
Yes. That's right.
So it keeps you back from doing what you would do.
Yes.
See, so we cannot do the things that we would. He says in Galatians, I'm just going to stick this one in, 5:16, this I say, walk by the Spirit. You shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit is against the flesh. These are contrary one to another, that you may not do the things that you please.
Amen.
See, so that's the reason God did that. There's a resistance he has given you against what you really would like to do. It comes to your mind, boy, I just like to give you a piece of my mind. And that's a piece you can keep. Just keep that piece. Don't give it away. See, the Holy Spirit checks you on that. Amen. So that's how we have become. So we are one body. Now, think about this. Individually, we are to present our bodies, but as a unit, you and I and the rest of the church in the world are one body.
Yeah.
In Christ, we have diversity, but we also have unity together.
Yes.
And so basically, we are to maintain not only personal standards of holiness as individuals, but also corporate holiness as one body in Christ who represents Christ to the world. People will always throw a whole church down if they hear about, say, the pastor did so-and-so, or that church over there. They throw the whole church under the bus because one of their deacons did so-and-so. And all of us go under the bus. Same time. See? So we have to be careful. We want to be careful how we walk, because our testimony and our walk makes a difference in our mission. The mission is to get this gospel out to the whole world. Yeah, we know we are all whacked and the Lord is covering us, but folks outside may not understand that. So we want to be careful. But and even if they all, what I always say to them, they go, ain't nothing down there at the church but a bunch of hypocrites. I always say, yeah, come on in, we got room for more. There's room for you too. Got room for some more hypocrites. Come on in here and fill it on up.
Amen.
The biggest hypocrite is the one that stays out there and doesn't come in and try to help.
All right.
Humility and not arrogance. This is where we have to be.
Yeah.
Must be employed in all things to give rise to the understanding of how it is that we are saved. Don't be arrogant.
Right.
Be humble. It's all right if somebody misunderstands what you do when you come to church.
Yes.
They might even talk about you.
Yeah.
But don't get on a high horse.
Yes.
Humble yourself.
Right.
Come in low. Say, yeah, you know what? There is a lot of that. Now, let me tell you what Jesus did for you.
Yeah.
Sit them down and tell them about the cross. Yeah. Tell them about the crucifixion, the burial, and the resurrection of your Savior.
Amen.
And how it's not my righteousness, but it's his righteousness.
Right.
Explain that.
Amen.
So we want to give rise to the understanding of how it is that we are saved so as to be a living letter to the world, demonstrating the love of Christ and the love of God in Christ Jesus.
Yeah.
See, that's what we are. We are a living epistle, not only read by all men.
Yes.
So if you're here today and you are not a part of the church, we open the door and invite you, not that the door is ever closed, it's always open.
Never closed. Always.
But you can come at this time if you'd like to be a member, to tighten up your fellowship with the church. If you've never been a member of the church, you can come at this time. If you are a member of the church and you want to be a member of St. Timothy, we want you to come right now. We have cleared a row here in the front. Anyone can come.
Yes.
The door is open. Jesus has paid your bill entirely. So you can come right now. We invite you to come at this time. Amen. And show that you would like to be a member of the church, which is one body in Christ. Amen. Amen. One body, one Lord, one faith, one baptism. Ephesians 4 and 5. So come right now if you're here today and you'd like to unite with us in this fellowship. We invite you to come right now. Don't be ashamed. Jesus said, if you're ashamed to own me before men, I will also be ashamed to own you before my Father who is in heaven. So if you hear me boldly talking about Christ, that's how I want him to do when I come up there. I'll be there. You see, and that one there was not ashamed of me. He loved me. He talked about me all the time. He was never ashamed of the gospel. That's the way you ought to be right now. Come right now if you're here today. Don't forsake the opportunity to become part of the body of Christ. Amen. We promise we will disciple you, teach you some things to help you maintain and sustain. Amen. We have done as God commands. We see that there are none, but yet there is room. Amen. We hope you did get a word that edified you today. And something that you will carry you through the rest of the week. I'd like to announce at this time that we are scheduled to preach at the West Travelers MB Church, which is located.